So we went down on August 1st, down to Nicaragua, like my dad said, and we went with 14 people down there. And
Nicaragua, for those who don't know, is the third poorest country in the world. And it was a big cultural shock for Jimmy and I because they don't have a they have a government, but you don't see it. There's no trash collection service. People just make dumps in their yard and then burn it. There's no post office. The cops we saw are guys who ride on bikes. And
yeah, it was pretty sad. So, but we have a couple slides up here. We stayed at, there's two orphanages that we stayed at. There's the one we stayed at and slept, and that's the orphanage we worked on. So this is the new orphanage, the one we stayed at. There's the old orphanage is the one where all the orphans that right now are going to move to the new orphanage, okay?
So the orphanage is in, it's called Hogar Belén, which means home of Bethlehem, and that's in the capital of Managua. And it's designed for handicapped kids. So these are the kids that they get born and their parents say, I can't take care of you. And so they put them on the street and hopefully they end out good. And some of them end up at this orphanage. And the problem is that the government leased the Mustard Seed Ministry this land, but they might take it back. You never know because the government is completely unstable and corrupt. So that's why this organization bought this land. This is out in the countryside. It's in a town called Diriamba. And so we're building it. We were building the place that they're going to live.
Yeah, and Diriamba is super nice too. Like we would drive down the street and just wave to people because every single day, not every single day, but most days we would drive back to Managua's to go to the orphanage to visit all the orphans in Hogar Belén. And so on the way there, we just waved to people and everybody there was super nice and they'd smile and wave back. And Diriamba was really poor place. There's the dirt roads and everything. And like you said, it was pretty much all over the place, the burning trash and stuff. But really in the countryside, you could see it was a lot more poor. And there was just shacks that people built and stuff. And that's what they lived in. But everybody there was super, super nice. And everybody would just wave to you on the street. And it was it was really cool. So this was at the new orphanage in Diriamba, and what we were doing was we were mixing concrete and stuff and we were pouring it in for the foundation. So that was what the sand behind them, that was part of the mixture. So that's more, you can see the rocks in the back and the sand. What we do is we'd shovel three wheelbarrows of rocks and three of sand and pour them on the ground on this there's concrete on the ground, but everywhere else was dirt, but you pour it on the solid ground and then you pour the rocks and three wheelbarrows of sand, and then you put two bags of concrete and then five buckets of water, and then you just had to mix it all up by hand with the shovels.
And there's no power tools, so we're all doing this by hand. And you're stirring the concrete and it's getting hard, so you're stir faster.
Yeah, and the goal was, because you'd pour all into this, you'd make this crater, and you'd pour the buckets of water in there, and then you start from the outside, and you put the dry into the water, and then eventually it was all wet. Well, if you broke the crater open, water would just pour everywhere, and people would freak out, and you'd have to just shovel it as fast as you could. But that's that's the water tank that we'd get. It wasn't clean water.
So there's no flush, there's no running water, and so a truck comes and dumps, and it's pretty much just stream water, and it's poopy, and you don't drink it.
Yeah.
And if you brush your teeth with it, you're going to have the runs. But
But that's what they used to for the concrete, mixing the concrete up. You didn't care how clean the water was. I mean, so that was us working right there. rebar and...
Yeah, Nicaragua time for sure. That's cutting stuff, getting it done.
And so, that's working on the rebar and whatnot. So that right there, an example of no power tools. We were actually human lawnmowers for a little while with a machete.
So one day they're like, okay, it's time to go out and clear some land. So they hand us all machetes. And basically, you're a lawnmower. They don't have lawnmowers. So you just get down and you just...
Hack away, you just hack away at those sticks. See, that's our friend Armando. He's a really cool guy. He you get the stick and you put it in your left hand, you'd hold the machete in your right hand, unless you're left handed, vice versa. But you put it in front of the stick in front of your left leg, and then whenever you, that would keep you whenever you're cutting the grass.
So you wouldn't cut your leg off.
Yeah, so you wouldn't chop yourself in the leg. So, and like.
But then the natives didn't use sticks. They would just like got down and just chopped whole trees down in one swipe.
Yeah,
and
it was.
All the white people, they're laughing at us because we're like hitting the ground.
Yeah, we pretty much ruined the yard, I think, more than anything, but whatever. So this little girl right here, her name is Tatiana. She was super nice. She was one of the orphans at the orphanage. But all the kids there were handicapped either because they were born that way or from like abuse from their parents, and then they just got handicapped by that way. But Tatiana was actually,
she's pretty normal. Yeah. She's one of the more functioning ones. She can speak Spanish back to you. And I remember one day before we left, I went to the 99 cent store and bought all these cheap toys, and I gave her a yo-yo, and just for the whole day, like, she couldn't get it back to go up her hand, but she would just like spin it around and stuff, and they're just so excited about that kind of thing.
Yeah, so that was, and that's us working again. That was a good little field right there we had to bushwhack. So that was us with our machetes, so you don't mess with us. That's the bus that we were taking around. We took that everywhere. Took it from the airport to Diriamba, and then every day Diriamba to Managua's or wherever we were going. So.
And the bus tops out maybe at 35 miles an hour, and then when you're going uphill, it's maybe 5 miles an hour.
Yeah. And we thought it was gonna break.
It's gonna break down. You're like, oh gosh, please help me.
This little kid right here, his name's Alex. He'd only been in the orphanage for 2 weeks whenever we got there, and he'd been like starving.
He had been left on the street, and so this is at Pizza Hut, so we took all the kids to Pizza Hut, which is like the nicest place in Nicaragua.
Yeah.
It's like the club there. Mm-hmm. And he ate 5 slices of pizza. Like, and he's like this big, and his stomach, he looked like he was pregnant. Like, yeah. Rock solid, like jargoning out, and he's just like going to town, just like engulfing more than Jimmy can eat.
Yeah, he would have exploded if we didn't take the pizza away from him, yeah. Literally. Like, we were touching his stomach, and it was so full. Like you said, it was like a rock. Like, you touched it, and it was amazing. But it's because he hadn't eaten anything, so. This was a day at the lagoon that we took on Thursday. We stayed there for the whole week. We got there Saturday, late Saturday, and then all the way through that Friday we were working at the orphanage or going to visit the orphans in Hogar Belen. But one day we went over to this lagoon and we just swam around, and the water was just like so warm. Yeah. It was so nice.
Crystal clear. Like, this is our day off on Nicaragua time, so every day's off.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and diving in, that's just more of the lagoon. And that's pretty much the group right there. Like, couldn't ask for a better group of kids. Everybody just got along so well, and they were all so giving. And we just had, like, everybody constantly the whole week, we were laughing and just smiling the whole week. And that was because, like, what just the good group of people we had together. And not only that, but the people there, they made us smile and laugh. And it was just, like, constant laughter the whole week. And it was just, like...
It definitely takes sacrifice to go somewhere like this. I mean, they're... No, we haven't seen flushing toilets for like 2 weeks. No cold drinks. It's like room temperature or warm.
Yeah.
So,
it was really cool though, because like a lot of times here in the United States, it's like we are blessed with so much and we don't even realize it. And then whenever we go to Nicaragua, a third poorest country in the entire world, it's like we're just happy the whole week. Just like, smiling the whole time, and it was just like kind of like, why can't we be that like that in the United States?
That's the egg beater. We had the egg beater and show how high we could get it out.
That's water polo right there.
And here's Jimmy, only out of his ears are only out because he can't egg beater at all. He never played polo, so
yeah. So
that's me. That's my Speedo sticking out. Okay.
That's the place in the lagoon that the restaurant we were at. Again.
And everyone's excited because they had cold water, and so it's like...
Although it was served to you in Nicaragua time, so it was like...
took 2 hours for the food to get to the table.
Yeah, but it was okay because you're in Nicaragua time. Really. There's the bus again. We're leaving right there. See, smiles all around. See?
You can, so. There are no like street rules. Driving there, people use their horn. Like it's not like angry horn. It's like, hey, I'm here. Like, burp, burp.
Yeah.
Or like anytime you go through an intersection, it's like, burp, burp.
Yeah, exactly. All the time. Like
you can ride on the roof. You can hang out the side of the window.
We just see people in pickup trucks. The whole pickup truck, yeah. People are standing up and just like holding on to each other. And the whole back of the pickup truck is just packed with people. And it was just like, nobody even cares. Like, you could do whatever you want, like, driving around. We could have rode up there, but the lady that we were with, Karen, wouldn't let us, so.
And this is one of the oldest churches in the country. It's, like, over, like, 500 years old. It's, like, barely standing.
It was huge.
Yeah.
Oh, that was, on the day off, we went, we visited a volcano, and what happened to us a long time ago, the volcano erupted, and that's Lake Managua's.
Yeah, Managua's.
I think Lake Managua's, and so all the lava went into the lake, and it made thousands of these little islands all over the place in the water. And so people, like, this is, you can see kind of like the island right there. It's not a very good picture, but that's like a little island right there. And there's like just big enough for these houses to be built on them. And you could buy your own island, but it costs like a lot of money.
Well, $1,000.
Yeah, no. It costs like, for here, a house here, a nice house here, like millions of dollars, you know. Here it's like a couple $100,000 for your own island. So,
and this is one of those houses that were on an island, and these are the people who like come down there and just exploit the whole system. I mean, none of these people are natives.
Yeah, and like the people who are there, you're either really poor or you're really rich. That's how it is down there.
So. And on one of the islands, there's monkeys on the islands, and if you can see them right here,
spider monkey.
And do we have pictures of them on the boat?
Yeah, just go forward a couple. So that's the monkey.
So we just took this boat, and you get close to the islands, and they jump off the island onto the boat, and we have bananas and mangoes, and they're just like taking them out of your hands. And these are wild monkeys. Yeah. Like,
we could only let the one on, Lucy, and she had just given birth to a baby 2 weeks before we got there. But that day, the male monkeys on the island, because it's a really small island, the male monkeys killed the baby, so it's kind of sad, but it still came on, and that's Karen, the one who wouldn't let us ride on the top of the bus. She was kind of nervous, I think.
She was really scared.
Yeah, but it's just chowing down on a mango right there, and it really liked it, so that was funny, because it would try to walk through the middle of all the people on the boat, because it was kind of a long boat, as you can see, and people just, hands. You
take my banana, take my banana,
exactly.
Please.
Exactly, so that's how it was, and it would just go along. That was, there it is again, Lucy, and that's the guy who took us on the boat. He did that it was his job to take people out to the island. He would get up to the male monkeys. You couldn't let the male monkeys on the boat because they were
too aggressive.
Yeah, and so he would just get next to him, and then he would zoom away real quick. He was kind of a tease. So there it is. It checked out. It was hanging around everybody. That's the other Karen. That's Mama Karen. Not to be confused with Karen, no bus riding Karen. So you can go to the next one. So it really liked Mama Karen a lot, and that right there, that one right, no, don't go back. That one right there, she gave her, the monkey Lucy came up to Karen, Mama Karen, and gave her a big hug around the head, and just like was hugging her, as you can kind of
this
sort of tell.
This is Karen, and this is the monkey. So it's like holding her like this.
Yeah,
and she's just like, freaking out. She's like, oh God, don't let it kill me. Please don't let it rip my hair. It turns around and starts picking through Karen's hair. Yeah. It's like, is that
it's looking
nice?
For bugs. And the people there said that they had never seen that happen before, ever. Like, and so we were just like, wow. And like she was saying stuff like when it was hugging her, like, I'm sorry about your baby. I'm sorry. And it was just like really.
But
like,
really,
sad.
She was thinking, please don't kill me. Don't kill me.
Yeah. You could see it on the look on her face, but like you can't really tell from this picture. All you can see is a monkey's behind.
There, he's picking through the hair now.
Going through the hair right there, looking for bugs. So I don't know. That was pretty cool. That was quite an experience. Like that monkey.
Yeah.
So And that's Lake Managua, so I don't know if there's... don't know who that is. That was later, we went to a restaurant. That was a fancy restaurant.
Is he drinking Coca-Cola?
Yes. You can go to the next one. That's it again. Those that's the spoons on the nose.
It still
again,
happens it in Nicaragua. It still happens in Nicaragua.
It doesn't matter what you have. So that's the rebar. So those people there.
These are the workers. These are the people.
Yeah, that's Sebastian and a couple others. Every day they were super cool. And like I don't speak any Spanish. He could communicate with them like somewhat. But I don't speak any Spanish, but still, like, we became friends with the workers there.
And
like,
they would, when we played soccer with them at after lunch, they'd go, hey, Jimmy, pass me the ball. Yeah.
So it was cool. Like, even though we couldn't really speak any Spanish, and I had not spoken any Spanish before I went down there, you still became friends with these people because they were so nice and so giving. And, like, it doesn't matter. Like, we just became friends with everyone and, like, it was super cool to have those people there too. Like the workers were so nice and like they really made everything fun too. And like you said, we played soccer every day, which we of course got whooped, but I think we represented the United States quite well though, seeing how we lose every other time in soccer. But anyway, so you'd think like, you know, everybody was like, even though we didn't know him, everybody was high-fiving, telling each other what a bueno job everybody was doing. So that's like how it was like.
And it was really interesting. So as you can see, they're all really short. So Jimmy and I were like giants. We would walk around and I just had to turn my head and I could find Jimmy even if we were in a crowd of people.
Yeah.
Because everyone's only like 5 feet tall.
Yeah, it really, like you can see right there how we're head taller than them. Everybody was there high. Like, I think it's because like, they don't have that much food they can eat there, so everybody there is just super short just because of years and years of not having that much food, whereas we have more food than they do, and we're a lot bigger than they are, like a lot bigger. So
this is in Managua's, they have a dump and it's called La Trueca, and it's a huge dump, and there's people who actually live in the dump, and that's their lives are picking through trash and building homes and stuff in it.
It's really sad.
It's incredibly, it was like one of the hardest things to see. It's the most poverty I've ever seen in my whole life. And this is set up by the same people who set up the orphanage, and it's a sewing center, and it's for the women who live in the dump. It's an occupation for them, so it's a chance for them to get out, and they teach them how to sew, and they teach them a little bit of English, and then they sell their stuff to hopefully get enough money so they can move out of the dump. And the people who work here are just beautiful, beautiful people.
A lot of people, like, what they think is that this is a bad thing because it's saying that it's okay to live in the dump. That's what people, like, think. But, like, that's one point of view. But another point of view is, like, these people, if they had any other choice, they would not be living in the dump. And that's what I think. Like, no matter, like, if they have the sewing center stuff, that's not a bad thing. Because these people wouldn't be living in the dump unless they had to, you know? So this is a really good thing for these people to go out and actually, like, and they actually have school and stuff like that in the sewing center. So it's really cool.
So that's this is the dump. A picture of the dump. It's pretty bad picture, but there's like this mountain is probably trash. Like you just look and it looks like a mountain, but it's just trash. And like it's hard to describe or explain, but like think about like hobos, like how they pick their trash, but there's 1,000 people who live like that.
Yeah, and that's like what they do is they go and it just smells terrible.
Oh,
and
there's reeks.
Burning, just these giant burning piles of trash just on fire, and it was just like, don't breathe that.
And so, and here you can kind of see all of these are all people bending down, picking up trash.
Yeah.
Or in animals, there's animals that just rummage and stuff. And
yeah. So it's people and animals. Like you can see there's some animals.
Those are some cows eating trash. And
yeah. And another thing, there was dogs and all over the place in Nicaragua. And like, it's just because like they can't. I mean, like, people don't have doors, and then those dogs make little puppies, and then those puppies make other little puppies, and then, like, it's just, like, dogs everywhere. You see them running all over the place, but they're not, like, vicious or anything, so.
And these are just vultures just picking through the trash.
Yeah, buzzards, just, like, scavengers. And there's a nasty lake there at the dump too, like this little pond. It was really gross.
And so then this is so on the borders of the dump. This is how these people live. They just take whatever they find and they build a home on the side of the dump, and then every day they walk into it. But it's
nasty. Yeah. And like that, those ones are pretty bad. But on the inside, there's like actual like a little village or like a kind of like a little dump city kind of like. It's like homes like that, but it's like there's houses like that as far as you can see, in like yards and stuff that people make. This, but it's
you
like
can
not
see their
good.
Roofs right here. These are all roofs out of.
But like I can tell you, like those actually, you're like, I mean, whenever I look at them, I'm like, wow, like people built that, you know, and it's like out of trash.
Like it's the same way you built forts as a kid. Like that's like their home.
Yeah, and it looks like it's like could like protect them, but like. At least a little bit, but the way when we were there this one day, it just poured rain, like the worst like downpour you've ever seen in Ventura. It was like that there. It was just this tropical rainstorm just like pouring water down on us. You'd walk out like for 5 seconds in the rain and just you like take a shower in it, because it was just, you'd be drenched.
That was our shower because there was no water pressure.
Yeah,
Jimmy and I'd throw our speedos on, come on, run, get this bar soap.
Yeah, no, really, seriously. And then but like it, and then I was talking to this guy Fernando who was taking us around for a couple of days, and he spoke English, and I was like, man, I've never seen it pour like this in Ventura. And he was just like, really? And I was like, yeah, it's really pouring right now. And he's like, you should see when it really pours. And I was like, it's not pouring right now. And he just said, he pointed to the gutter and where it was just
a steady waterfall.
Yeah, bucket of water. And he's like, that's how it is whenever it's pouring. Like, it's just somebody took a giant bucket and just poured it on Nicaragua. So, it like, those little houses right there, like, they look like it would be okay against a little bit of rain. But from what I, like, when I was there for that one downpour, so that would never protect it from that rain. Like, they would just get soaked, I can tell you.
So, this is their main road in their dump city. In La Chueca, and you can see there's like it's dirt and there's like
nasty puddles of water.
And then this is a health center. This is started by people on the outside who went and they opened this up and started giving free health care, but their funds have run out, and so we went in and gave us like all the money in our pockets. But I mean, and the meds, you bring meds to them, but how long can it last?
Yeah, and then we also gave some candy out to the kids there, all the candy that we had, and they kids just lose their mind whenever you give them candy. That's the last one.
Oh, that's the last one.
Yeah, so all the candy that we give, we came there, we bought a giant bag of candy
from Costco.
Yeah, and everybody else got candy that they brought too. We had more than just the giant bag, but we just get like in Hogar Belen, there was a fence in this field. And these kids who, we gave candy to kids who, that we could in Hogar Belen, but some of them, you can't give them the candy because they'll choke on it. And so, like, we just get handfuls of candy and just throw it over the fence, and the kids would just lose their minds. Like, they'll just, like, cheering and laughing and grabbing all the candy they could get. And so, like, we'd be driving along, and we'd throw candy out the window to these little kids, and they'd go and grab it all, or you'd hand it to somebody. And every single kid who got candy just, like, loved it, and they lost their mind.
Never felt like Santa Claus like more than that. Like,
yeah, no, seriously.
Like giving it out, and they're just so happy about it.
Yeah, sugar and sweets, and like, one time we went to the market one day to buy some stuff and just check it out, and I gave some candy while we're driving away out the window. I gave these kids some candy, and just because we were in the city and in the market where everything is a lot more like harsh,
Americanized, like where it's. Where it's Americanized, there's people who like have greed and corruption, and they don't have good intentions. And so, like when you give them candy, they'll just run off with it. Where if you give it out in the countryside, they'll share it with their friends, and they'll tell their other friends and like share pieces in half and stuff.
Yeah. But these kids, I handed it out the window, and the one kid, I just was like, okay, take it. And the kid, the nearest one, just grabbed as much as he could and took off. And the other kids who didn't get any. Running alongside the bus, yelling and yelling for more candy. And like, it was just like, it was so much different than anywhere else that I threw candy out to kids, you know? And it was just because they were just taught to just get as much as they could, you know, by that they were trying to sell us these little, they take the,
like a palm fern.
Yeah, it's like a long blade of grass, and they could do these really cool things, fold it up and make it like a, a scorpion or something like that, and like they would give it to you, and it would look really cool, and they'd try to get you to buy it, and it's like it was gonna die and dry out in a couple of days, and you wanted to give them money for
it.
But
if you gave them money, then their 500 other friends would kind of get money too.
And that was with Karen, bus riding Karen. She gave money to like one of the kids, or she bought one or two of them because she felt so bad. And the whole rest of the time she was there, they were bombarding her and just like begging for her to buy more. But it's like, we can only give out, you know, we can't give money to everyone, you know, we have to have some for other stuff, you know. And
so walking away from the trip, like what I took away the most, like, it's incredibly sad to see this poverty, but the people there, what's really interesting is that they're so happy. Like there's a happiness found down in the third world that they don't have in America. Like they have absolutely nothing, and by our standards, just nothing, but they're so happy. Like it was just really cool to see people who are just happy with what they got and just living simply.
Yeah. So what I got to was like, I thought I was going to be going down there and just seeing a bunch of poverty and just like seeing what I could do to improve it, you know? And all I could think, like, coming back now and thinking about it was, like they taught me a lesson that, like, it's not about what you have. And, like, if I went down there and gave them everything, they would love it. But it's, like, about, like, how happy you are, you know? Those people were way happy, like, all the time. It just was, like, I just thought about all this stuff that I have, and it's just, like, and I'm not happy all the time, you know? Like, and these people are just, whatever they have, they're super happy about. And they just, like, it makes me feel so blessed, you know? And, like, it just really taught me a lesson to just, what we came up with was the, something we called third world joy. And that's, like, what these people have. And it's kind of, like, what we want. It's just, like, not having a lot, but still being happy. Third world joy. And then Nicaragua time, that was the other thing, so. If you're late for something, you can just say you're in Nicaragua time, and it works. So,
and I also want to say thank you for everyone who gave us generous support. I mean, it really helped a lot.
Every little nickel.
Because we saved all our lifeguard earnings, but still costs a lot. But,
but we really like appreciate everything too. So, does anybody have any questions? Anyone? You down in the front. Smell?
The smells.
Yeah.
Our room stained. Everything stained.
Oh, yeah. The room. Mostly it's because all the boys are in one room. That's why it smelled. And if you've ever been in a room with boys, doesn't matter where you are, camp or whatever, it's always you walk in and you definitely want some Febreze. But you go in, like, to our room at the new orphanage, and all the stuff, so, like, whenever the sewage, like, was, I'm guessing, was right underneath where we were staying, and it would just come, all the smell would come up from the drains, and so the room was just horrible. Like, it smelled so bad.
But the burning trash in La Chueca was the worst.
Yeah, that was really bad. All the burning trash on the side of the road really smelled, but just like in the dump,
it's all you were breathing, and it's getting in your lungs.
It was, and just without, not even the burning trash, just like, if you've ever been to the dump, like, you know how bad it smells. You saw how huge it was. It was just huge, and it just smells like that. And then on top of that, they're burning it. So that smelled pretty bad, but.
Mr. Nice Man in the front.
Yes?
Could you tell us about a couple of the kids that, I know that you were telling Jimmy the same.
Yeah, that's true. We didn't say anything about that.
The orphans or the kids? The orphans, some of them can't move, and some of them just lie in a bed. So you just talk to them, and they can't respond, but hopefully they hear you and feel your love. But some of them, like one of my best friends, his name was Becker. He and I would talk in Spanish, and he was slow, but he and I would have a good time, and I don't know, they... And they love to cuddle. Like, they're all, like, really cuddly. And one of them, he's 19. His name is Omar. And he was, like, scary because he's, like, kind of – he's pretty apish. And so, like, he would just come up and, like, take your hand like this. Mm-hmm. And he would, like, walk you along. And you're okay. And then, like, all of a sudden, you just be like,
and try and bite you, and you're just like, ah!
Yeah, and he would claw you and grab you. Like, he was a super nice kid, super sweet kid, but he just, like, had problems, and all the time, at first, when he first got there, he'd just grab you, and he'd, like, just sit down or lie down on the ground, and so you would just lie down with him, and you're like, oh, hey, bud, you know, how's it going? And then it just got to the point where the game was how many people we could bite and how hard. And so it was just like, and one time we were giving him candy. And
Jimmy and I are giving candy to the workers and to Omar and Becker. And then Jimmy and I are like, okay, we got to go. And then me and the workers were laughing and talking in Spanish about, and they're like, oh, he's going to go after the white kid. He's going to pull out Jimmy's hair when he finds out that there's no more candy.
I couldn't give him any more candy, so he was going to attack me because I had no more candy, which everybody thought it was super funny that I was going to get my hair torn out, but I was just sitting there like, this isn't funny. Dude, I need to run away or something. So, but like it, all the kids there, like there was this one girl who had her hips were messed up, so she had to get a cast on, and it was like up just above her hips, all the way down one leg and about to the knee on the other one, and then there's a bar connecting the knees together, and she was just lying down all day, every day. Every day we're there, she's just lying down, and like she had a diaper over the cast, but what Colin and I think is
they were like brown stains.
Yeah, and so they just drilled a hole in the bottom of it, but she was lying down and just like put a diaper around and was like, whatever comes out, then we can clean up. But the cast was like brown and like stained and dirty. But like you just go to those kids and you would just go over there and you'd play around with them, you'd poke them and make funny noises, and they would just have the biggest smiles you've ever seen in your whole life, just like laughing. And you just pick them up and hold them, and you just like they would just like sit there in your arms all day. And the one kid, the first day we were there, was his name Anthony, or was it
Anthony.
And we took him on the swing, and we're just holding him on the swing. And he was so happy. He would just start, his whole
body would start shaking. Like smiling and shaking.
Yeah, and we'd give him
gummy worms.
And he'd put them, his front teeth, he couldn't bite down with them.
He didn't have any.
Yeah, he had
decay or something.
Yeah, it was bad. But, like, he just put it in his molars and bite down and just yank his head back and just pull off little pieces, and then he would start shaking again because he would get so happy, and then he'd want another piece, so he gave him the gummy worms. And then Karen comes over and she's like, did you guys ask the people here if you could give them candy? And we were like,
of course.
Yeah.
Duh, Karen.
But, yeah, so he got some free gummy worms, and it was nice.
And then there was one named Chancho, and he was kind of a chubbier one, but he was always trying to book it. And so, like, he would, like, see the gate, and he just, like, whenever it opened, he'd just, like, take off. We're like, no, Chancho! And you'd grab his ankle.
Yeah, and he would just crawl around, and he just looked like a little baby.
Like a little Chancho.
He was 4 years old, though, so that was him. So, was that Dave? Do you have a question?
So, what does this trip inspire to?
Oh, more trips.
Yeah, definitely.
next week, we're leaving again.
Yeah, more trips, definitely. And just, like, and just tell people about it too, you know, and like help other people to understand, like, it's not about what you have, you know, and that's like really what I got out of this. Like, it's not about what you have, you know, and like just tell people that and explain to them, like, I've been to Nicaragua and those people are happier than I've ever seen. And that's how I want to be. I want to have third world joy. You know? So that's like, and then, yeah, just like, it's not about,
and definitely to think, like, so we've been to Nicaragua, but there's hundreds of thousands of other places like that in the world where we could go and help other people too.
Yeah. Any other questions? You.
The cutie in the front.
So how many kids were in the orphanage and finished building the new orphanage? Did you guys get that finished?
We did not finish it, but we finished mostly the foundation, so the cement.
We were in Nicaragua time.
Yeah,
so.
The thing is, it's like, you want to walk away with it done, but it just can't happen because they can't get contractors. Like, they'll say, we need an electrician here, but it'll take them 3 months to get there. And it'll probably take another year for it to be done. And then I talked to the lady. She said during the summer they get pretty regularly, but during the winter there will be months without anyone coming. Yeah, and that's the Nicaragua time. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. And then kids, I think like 16 kids there.
Yeah.
But the new orphanage has enough room for like 40 to 60.
Yeah.
So.
And the new orphanage was really nice too.
Like, yeah, and it's cooler. Like Managua's is like really hot, like really humid. Like you're standing there and you're sweating. You're like, why am I sweating so much? But Diriamba has like a nice breeze and you're up in the mountain, so it's a lot cooler.
It's really cool. So.
Like physically or something to see?
Dump was hardest to see, definitely. And the hardest thing working was probably like whenever I was doing the concrete, because everybody there is so small, the wheelbarrows were really small. So whenever I had to wheel it around, I had to be bent over all the time and then lifting the thing up, and you'd bump just over bumps and stuff. And it was kind of that. But I mean, physically though, you didn't really think about how bad it was physically.
Yeah. For me, probably the, yes, same. Oh, so thankful.
And they totally were killer lawnmowers, too. Like, they were way better than we were. A lot. So, yeah. Well,
before everyone goes to sleep, we just want to say thank you.
Yeah.
And your donations were greatly appreciated.
So, you can come up to the front. So, if you'd like to turn your life over to God, please come forward while we stand and sing.